Keith Littlewood is with me, a regular contributor to Eye on Health. He's here to take your questions this morning. If you're wanting some clarity maybe on pain, posture, or indeed if you're having issues with your digestion, and many questions are coming in. So let's go to the text messages. And first off, actually, somebody talking about arthritis. So asking about posture and movement, and if you have arthritis or you're arthritic, as they're describing it, what can they do? So can you help people with arthritis, Keith?
Yeah, and it depends what type of arthritis it is. For example, rheumatoid arthritis can actually be mediated by gut problems. So if you get to the source of the inflammation, there are, I think, postulated 14, at least 14 mechanisms of inflammation. And one of those is like a microbial kind of transfer out of the gut into joints, for example. I've often seen a lot of rheumatoid arthritis clear up with removing gluten from the diet and sorting out bacteria. There are quite a lot of bacteria that can mediate or travel to other areas, particularly urogenital area, or they can also go to joints. And there is that, if you also look at for the issues that are related to posture as well, if you get a good joint action and the joints are centrated, as it were, into the joint, you get a lot of wear and tear that diminishes because the body's in a really good position.
Yeah, I was looking on your Facebook page earlier, and you put a photo which was quite amusing. I'll read it out, actually. Where is it? Here we go. If anybody tells you that when you've injured your back that you should stop exercising, then you should be slapped with a wet fish. The right type of exercise will stabilise the spine and get you out of pain quicker than any muscle weakening rest will.
And it should be a very smelly fish as well. Absolutely. I mean, the old doctors of old who used to say, oh, you've hurt your back, stop exercising, go and lay in bed for a week, will actually do you more damage than anything else, because what you need to do is to start working the muscles that have shut down. You'll get reciprocal inhibition. When you have pain, you will have muscles that shut down because the pain is shutting the movement and the ability to recruit the muscles. So get someone who can show you the right type of exercise. Even exercising in pain or just before pain, where you can have a carryover of different movements where you can recruit muscles, pain will persist. And to be honest, even if you don't exercise, after 3 months or so, or even sooner than that, you might find a posture that moves you away from pain, because the body will find that posture that gets you away. Nobody likes pain. So if you can get an exercise program that fires up all the muscles that aren't working, get that done, and that your chance of getting pain again becomes less and less.
I've got a shoulder pain from playing cricket. What should I do to cure the pain? So is it shoulder pain and cricket? So the connection there?
It's probably most likely musculoskeletal, but what is it? Is it an impingement syndrome? Is it a labral tear? Is it the subscapularis being tight? There's so many things with it. And without analysing someone, you may find, but this is totally guessing in the dark, that a simple pec stretch, looking at the way that the trunk's rotating, and look at the way that the neck's rotating, and if he's a particularly one-sided, one-handed, then obviously you're going to see issues with a certain shoulder anyway, based on the amount of rotation they have in the spine and how much rotation they have in the neck. So it might be worth stretching the pec minor, pec major, the subscapularis out, and maybe the lat out on the right side with a simple stretch. But it's really hard to show you that here, but it's worth getting checked out, because it will come back. And if you don't know what muscles to release and which muscles to strengthen, how are you going to get to the cause of the root problem?
And clearly, if you're working one side of the body more than the other, that could cause issues, as you said. Is there anything you can do just generally with that kind of sport? You know, golf is another one where you're using one side of the body more than the other. That, you know, should you be stretching before and after? What about going to a sauna, swimming, any of those things to help?
Depends on the postural dysfunction. Stretches, mobilizations, even exercising muscles that aren't being fired up can be beneficial. Some people might not benefit from stretching at all. It depends on the muscle fibers and what they're actually doing. I've tried stretching people before and it's made them even tighter. If you're going and release the muscles that need releasing, then you can go on and do the work. So people might need to go through more of a corrective phase and try to get the structure a little bit more symmetrical. You never get total symmetry, but, you know, because we're certain-handed, but you can do a lot. But, you know, it's no point in going on the running machine to warm up to go and do a heavy squat. There's absolutely no carryover for that. There's no point in going on the bike to then go and do your chest press exercise, which you see lots of people do. Use your use your cardiovascular exercise if you really need to do it at the end of your program. Don't go and fatigue yourself prior to going to do a decent weight training session.
I mean, again, even if maybe you haven't got a problem, say you haven't got a problem, but it's just a preventative thing, because often with those kinds of sports, we'll look at stretching, and we'll see stretching in a gym possibly, or with an exercise class, but do we see guys stretching before they go out and play a game of cricket?
Some do. I mean, I used to live in London.
I mean, on an amateur basis.
Yeah,
level,
I mean, I've seen an amateur kind of cricket team, and I think the only thing they've gone and done is literally put their pads on. And, you know, that's a lot of people. We're weekend warriors. We like to go out and do a sport and sometimes not do the work that's surrounded around it. I've talked about swinging a golf club is akin to throwing a javelin, the amount of forces that are used. But how many executives who play golf, or anybody who plays golf, trains like a javelin thrower, or looks at the rotational patterns, or looks at the patterns of stability that are going to prevent you getting back pain? Not many people.
Here I was diagnosed my upper spine neck area has a slight bend. I do exercise to strengthen for the neck muscles, but recently past my right arm becomes numb, mostly when I'm sleeping. So the right arm is going numb when I sleep, and there's an issue with the upper spine neck area, and there's a slight bend. Is that a common thing? So numbness, because, you know, it can be quite concerning if you've got numbness in your hand.
It's certainly a neurological issue, and usually the nerves that would probably come out of around nerves C4 through to C7 can always go down into that area. The thumb would be C6, middle finger C7, and the other two remaining little finger and other fingers C8. So yeah, it could be a disc issue, could just be inflammation, could be instability. Where's the bend? I don't know where the bend is, but you might have too much curve, you might have too little curve, you might have a lateral curve, and those positions would generally give you the type of exercise that you need to do. If there's a disc prolapse or a herniation, then that can cause problems, and giving you some more alignment, giving some strength. If you have too much of a curve, generally what I think he's talking about means that you might have a posteriorly rotated head and have a lack of the very small intrinsic neck muscles that bring neck flexion. That could be related to breathing again. We'll talk about that. Mouth open breathing, the tongue slacking and off. If we can bring the chin tucked, that's usually a good way of rehabilitating the cervical spine in that way, but it's difficult to say without seeing it.
Coming back round to food and diet, so is it good to fry eggs with olive oil? That's a good question. Olive oil, you know, we it's good for us, olive oil. Should we be cooking with olive oil?
I don't like to cook with any polyunsaturated fatty acids. Olive oil, sunflower oil, canola in particular, I avoid those like the plague. When you heat them, they're very unstable, they lose a molecular bond and they become rancid. So I would not look at using them. I would always fry, if I'm looking at frying eggs, coconut oil, butter, ghee. People are going to say, oh, but doesn't that cause heart disease by causing saturated fat? No, it doesn't. There's very little research to show that eating saturated fat causes heart disease. We know that when you eat a lot of vegetable oils and they're rancid, then we know that can cause heart disease. We know stress can cause heart disease. Lots of environmental toxins can cause heart disease. But at a good quality amount of saturated fat. If you look at Eskimos, very simple argument. Eskimos eat 90%, 80 to 90% of fat and blubber in their diet. Do they die of heart disease? They don't.
What did they die of?
Well, they used to die of old age, but I think now they have Starbucks on the range. Nice. And they're consuming lots of pastries.
I just picked up a bottle of avocado oil the other day for my salads, and it was the first time I've seen it and know nothing about it. Is it good for you? Is it any good? Avocado oil.
It's the same thing again. It's a polyunsaturated fatty acid. If it's cold, it might have some use, but how long has it been sitting around for? Vegetable oils, nut oils, seed oils go rancid very, very quickly, and there's a lot of research that shows that these oils, when they're heated, when they've been sat around for long periods of time, can cause a lot of problems.
So just to clarify then, because I like avocado oil, I also like almond oil, and certainly with salads and that kind of thing. So how long are we talking about being sat in your cupboard? Don't know.
Who knows? You just don't know. So I mean, you don't know whether quality, how long it's been sitting around for. I mean, the average nut, for example, has been sitting in a warehouse for a long period of time.
Before it's gone in.
And, you know, and nuts are particularly hard to digest. I find a lot of clients, including myself anecdotally, when I've eaten high nuts, I get very, very interesting gut reactions.
So what would you use then? What do you use on your salads? Olive oil, is that what you use?
I use cold olive oil on salads, yeah. And occasionally the odd bit of coconut oil, but usually cold olive oil.
Okay. What else have we got here? Regardless of what I eat or how much, I always end up with a bloated and hard belly. No one can tell me why. Well, when we come back, we'll do our best to explain the reasons for those symptoms.